Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. It's Rick Hughes, the host of your weekly radio talk show. Our show, The Flatline, is always about motivation and inspiration and, obviously, education. But we do it without any manipulation, and if you've been listening to some show before I came on the air, there's no telling what you've been listening to. I've heard all kind of infomercials, and sometimes I regret following these infomercials because I know people turn them off and don't want to listen. But hopefully, you're here because you want to hear the teaching of the Word of God. That's what our show's about, to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, so hopefully you will orient and adjust to that plan. God has a wonderful sense of humor, doesn't He? Well, you don't think so? Look in the mirror. Sure He does. He made us. That's got to be good for a laugh. So God has a sense of humor, and God has given us a wonderful opportunity, even through means of this radio show, to teach you His Word. And as we go through these principles and procedures found in the Word of God, it is my prayer they would motivate you to deploy the problem-solving devices onto the flat line of your soul so that you can keep the outside pressure of adversity from ever becoming the inside pressure of stress in your life. It is my prayer that you will have a hunger to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you will recognize truth when you hear it, and you will recognize good meal when you hear it. And maybe you might say, well, I'm not getting fed a meal where I go to church. Well, if you're not, then obviously you need to find some pastor that will feed you the Word of God. You need to find some pastor, if you're not being fed at your church, that some pastor that is spending a maximum amount of time studying God's Word and teaching it. And as I've told you before on this show, I know many men who spend hours every day studying the Word of God and hours every week teaching it in their local churches. And they do not visit hospitals and call on people, per se, as daily sort of stuff. They certainly pray for their members, and they certainly are aware of what's going on, but their main job is to study and teach the Word of God to their congregations. And when they step in the pulpit, they don't spend 15 minutes, they don't spend 30 minutes, they spend an hour. And they fire out the Word of God, and people study and take notes and grow. You get into a routine of studying weekly, several hours every week, and taking in the Word of God and learning the Word of God so that you don't wind up being a deserter at your post, so that you don't wind up being a Christian casualty, so that you don't wind up under the emotions of your soul and in reversionism. And this is a study that we have been going through for the last week or so on this radio show. If you listen often, you know we follow a series. We're not topical. And now we're doing a series on reversionism. And this answers the question of what happens when a person gets captured by their own arrogance. What happens when a person gets into some sort of perpetual carnality? Well, perpetual carnality means that he has unconfessed sin in his life. He doesn't deal with his sin. He commits more sin and more sin and more sin, kind of like a chain smoker, except this person's chain sinning. And so now, instead of being carnal and confessing his sin and becoming spiritual, see, remember that carnality and spirituality is absolute. You're either absolutely carnal or you're absolutely spiritual. Simply means you're either in fellowship or out of fellowship. But the reversionist, he doesn't get back in fellowship. He gets out of fellowship. He stays out of fellowship, extended for a long period of time. So he's into prolonged carnality. He's into perpetual carnality. What happens to that person? Well, what happens to that person is this, that he begins to revert back to acting like he did before he got saved. He turns back to his former state, his former habit, his former belief, or his former practice of post-salvation sinning. He gets back into the cosmic system, the devil's world, the cosmic vortex. And I tell you, that reversion begins by you yielding to the temptations of your sin nature. Now, everybody has a sin nature. We all have different areas of weakness. Your weakness may be money. Your weakness may be sex. Your weakness may be power. Your weakness may be attention or approbation. Your weakness could be a lot of different things. Lust comes in a lot of different packages. But when you give in to the desires of the flesh and you follow your lust pattern, then the process of reversion begins. And if you don't recover, if you don't confess your sin, and by the way, let me make this very clear to you. If you think that you're going to reform your sin nature, if you're going to teach your sin nature not to do bad things, you're dead wrong. Your old sin nature is against God. He never has obeyed God, and he never will. Well, the plan that God has set up for you is to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, not the sin nature. Because the sin nature will be destroyed. Why would God want you to reform your sin nature and then destroy it at death? You're not going to have a sin nature in heaven. You're going to have a resurrection body. So if you were going to keep the sin nature and you're going to reform it, he wouldn't destroy it, would he? Sure, it's going to be destroyed. Because you cannot reform it. It is infected with sin. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, you learn to live under the power of God's protocol plan, letting the Holy Spirit control your life and being motivated by the Word of God, which you have learned and applied because you love God. That's why the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my mandates, and my mandates are not grievous. So if a person gets into reversionism, it's the status of the Christian who fails to execute the plan of God. It's when maximum of control of the old sin nature takes over the believer's life. So that now this believer, this Christian, this child of God, he's under the dictates of his sin nature, and he will now act exactly as he acted when he was an unbeliever. You see, by failing to execute God's plan, this is what's important you understand it. By failing to execute God's plan, then you fail to receive blessing from God for time and eternity. That doesn't mean God doesn't love you anymore. God's love is not affected by your failure. It means that God can accept or reject what you do, but it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. That's human way of thinking. So, reversionism is a series of related failures in our life, in our spiritual life, and it results in failure for us to execute God's plan, and it terminates by us getting into some sort of degeneracy in our life. And it could be moral degeneracy, which is just as bad as immoral degeneracy. It could be either one. But degeneracy is a wicked thing. It was the moral degenerate who crucified Jesus Christ. And it is the immoral degenerate that perhaps that's the way you think about degenerate people. You know, you think about adulterers or pedophiles or homosexuals as being immoral degenerates. Well, the morally degenerate person is the person who will kill you in the name of God and think he's doing God a favor, and he's the dangerous man, I assure you. So, if we're going to talk about reversionism, it's when the believer remains unchecked by the utilization of the rebound technique. Okay? First of all, reversionism is when you remain unchecked. You don't confess your sin to God. And then, by not confessing your sin to God, number two, you get into some subnormal categories of personal sinning, places you don't belong. And number three, you have no spiritual growth. So by unchecked sin, getting into subnormal categories of personal sinning, and no spiritual growth, then apostasy comes into your life, and you get into reversionism. And reversionism is always characterized. Say, how could I tell if someone's in reversionism? You want to know how you can tell? If you have family members or friends or children even, how could you tell if they're in reversionism? And here's how you can tell. They are negative to the Word of God. Negative volition to Bible doctrine. Volition is the decider of the soul. And the person in reversionism has decided, I'm not going to church. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not sitting under a pastor who will teach me anything. I don't want that anymore. I don't believe that anymore. This person is influenced by evil. And it results in perpetual carnality and also perpetual discipline. Because remember, God said, the ones that I love, I discipline. So this person is under discipline from God perpetually means their life is miserable. They are never happy. They're constantly under pressure from God, and that pressure is designed to cause them to wake up. So if a person gets into reversionism, it always starts with reaction and distraction. And we're going to look at all of these. We're going to go through all of these and spend time. This may take several weeks to do this, but they're going to go through reaction and distraction stage, where they're distracted and because they reacted to something. And then they get into a frantic search for happiness. This always leads to Operation Boomerang. And then the emotions take over. And instead of thinking, they live by their emotions. Eventually, their volition goes completely negative. Eventually, their soul blacks out so that they're not able even to see themselves as they really are. And then scar tissue builds up. Their heart gets very hard. And then it's the end. So, a carnal believer, a Christian with sin in his life, could still be positive towards the Word of God. And he could be faithful to use the rebound technique. But the reversionistic believer, he's negative towards the Word of God, and he will not use the rebound technique. In other words, if he gets out of fellowship, he's going to stay out of fellowship. See, it only takes a moment for you to recover from carnality by using rebound. When you sin, if you rebound, problem-solving device number one, you recover from your carnality. But it takes years. Listen carefully. It takes years to recover from reversionism, because reversionism leaves so many scars on your soul, so much hatred and bitterness, and so many soul scars that it takes years to recover. I think the best other way I could illustrate that, if you went to the doctor and the doctor said you have a lot of plaque buildup in your arteries and you say, okay, I'm going to go out and run a mile tonight and I'm going to get it out, you probably have a heart attack. And he say, no, you need to walk around the block once today, once tomorrow, walk around the block once for 2 weeks, and then on the third week, walk around the block twice. And then on the second month, walk around the block four times. You know, you're going to build up to it gradually. And it takes a long time to get rid of the scar tissue that reversionism builds up in your life. Now, when you get carnal and you sin, if you rebound quickly, you can do it in just a heartbeat. Just boom, go to the Lord and say, Father, I know I just whatever. But the reversionist, the person that gets into reversionism, you can't even tell him apart from an unbeliever. He acts like an unbeliever. He thinks like an unbeliever because he's under demon influence, not demon possession. Now, don't misunderstand me. A Christian cannot be possessed by a demon, nor can he be possessed by Satan, but he certainly can be influenced. And this is called in the Bible doctrines of demons. You can read about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It's there. And this is the teaching of demons. It's the influence of demons that comes from pulpits. Pulpits of churches that teach the brotherhood of man and goofy stuff like that, that don't teach the justice and the righteousness of God. And so you get under this demon influence and you begin to think that God must be unfair because look at how bad the world is and there's something wrong with God. And we need to learn to accept everybody and love everybody. I once had a friend tell me there's a difference between judging people and making a judgment. And I thought that was a very wise statement. And you need to make some judgments about who you hang out with. That doesn't mean you judge them. Let God judge them. But it means that you determine whether or not this friendship is apropos for me. So the reversionistic believer, under demon influence, if he's your friend, if you're hanging around him, then his cup is going to overflow into your life. Just like David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you want to be in someone's backdraft, get in the person that has surely goodness and mercy following him. If you want to be in the backdraft of someone that's under divine discipline, then you hang around a reversionist and see what happens. So reversionism is just a simple means of explaining that there are degrees of failure in the Christian life. Just like there are degrees of success, there are degrees of failure. And it always goes through these eight stages. It always starts out with reaction and distraction stage. And then it goes on from there. So let's take a look at this. Let's help you understand this. Me too, all right? Here, let me go through the stage one of reversionism. When a person is carnal, remember, he confesses his sin and becomes spiritual. And you may be spiritual and you may be carnal four or five times a day. But a person that's in reversionism is he's into continuous sinning. All right? He's into permanent sinning. He's not executing the will of God. You know, he's not fulfilling the plan of God. But if he gets into reversionism, this is normally what happens. He goes into reversionism by means of reaction or distraction. Okay, here, let's go through this. Reaction. How does a person, what happens when they react? When people react to Christianity, maybe that person gets judged. Maybe the pastor treats this person badly. Maybe some deacon or some elder in the church does something that's out of line and maligns this person or judges this person. And then this person reacts to that. And the person says, well, if that's what Christians are, I'm never going back to church. I'm never going to be a part of any other church again. Maybe something bad happened and you say, well, I've been going to church all of my life. I've been tithing all of my life. And now look what God let happen to me. If God really loved me, why did he let that happen to me? See, that's reaction stage. So they react to Christianity. They react to Christian people. They react to a local church. And then they get distracted by something or someone. And this distraction is always based on reaction. They get distracted from the Word of God. They don't take it in anymore. They get distracted from the Word of God. And it can be caused by a lot of different things. Caused by, once you get distracted, you can get full of indifference and you can set wrong priorities in your life and arrogance takes over. And now you no longer study the Word of God. You're no longer learning the protocol plan of God. Why? Because you've reacted to some unfair something that happened in your life and you don't like it. When this reaction and distraction stage occurs in your life, you will fragment your life. You will react to everything that was once important. Everything that once meant something to you will now mean nothing to you, and you'll react to it. If anyone tries to bring it up to you again, you will fragment your life. The number one distraction to learning the Word of God is always your own arrogance. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 12, 2 and 3, stop being conformed to this world. Don't live under the peer pressure of this world. But be transformed, the Bible says, by the renovation of your thinking. What does that mean? So you don't think human viewpoint. You want to think divine viewpoint. You see, if you get into the reaction and distraction stage, if you get into the stage to where you are now beginning to get under the influence of demon influence, then you're going to think human viewpoint and not divine viewpoint. This verse says, be transformed by the renovation of your thoughts so that you can prove what is the will of God. That's divine viewpoint. So that you would know, quoting now, the good of intrinsic value achievement. What does that mean? So that you would know what it means to advance to spiritual maturity. So that you would know what it means to please God by executing His plan. So that you can become a mature believer. Here's what Paul says, for I say through the grace which has been given to me, Romans 12:3, to everyone that is among you, don't think of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you ought to think. But think in terms of sanity, that means absolute truth, for the purpose of being rational without illusion, as God has assigned to every one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. Now, if you read your Bible, you're not going to see it quite like that, because that's a modified, expanded translation of that passage. But from the original languages of the Greek New Testament, that's what that passage is saying. And you have to remember that absolute truth is always related to absolute reality. There are boundaries in which God wants you to think. And God doesn't want you to become unrealistic. Arrogance doesn't see things as it really is. An arrogant person sees everyone else's sin. They don't see their sin. An arrogant person has an unrealistic self-image. And the Bible says God wants you to be rational without illusion. He doesn't want you to be arrogant. And this is the fantastic result of the daily perception and application of the Word of God into your life. It acts as a mirror in your soul, and it lets you see yourself as you really are. You're able to see yourself exactly as you are. And that's the wonderful thing about learning the Word of God. You become rational without illusion. You know your limits. Now, you cannot progress in the Christian life until you do this. Until you have a standard of thinking from God's Word, you will never progress in the Christian life. And you're not going to stand still. Listen, you can't stand still as a Christian. This is not straddling the fence. You see, you're either going to go forward or you're going to go backwards. You're either going to progress or retrogress. And in reversionism, you're going backwards. You're going back to act like you did before you got saved. And that's the reaction and distraction stage of the Christian life. You see, in this stage, it's impossible, or it is possible, I might ought to say, it's probably even probable that you could recover. Yes, you could. But at the same time, something would challenge you to get you back. And what is it that would challenge you? Well, that's where discipline comes in. See, when you don't have enough genuine humility to obey God, then sometimes God has to put enforced humility in your life. And the enforced humility will challenge you to get back in fellowship with God where you belong. And you will learn that if you stay in perpetual carnality, and if you stay in reversionism, that you're going to destroy your life, you're going to die the sin unto death, and you're always going to arrogantly justify why the whole world hates you, and you're the only one that's right. And if you know anybody like this, this is exactly what's going on. These reactor factors that they have in their soul, they are, when these reactor factors get in here, I'll give you some of them here, but this is the life. This is what it's like when you get distracted from the Word of God. And see, when you have these reactor factors in your life, then they cause you to say, I'm not going to go to church, I'm not going to study, I'm not going to grow. What is it that causes you to do that? Well, number one, your wrong priorities. So you place money or success or pleasure or even your family, your grandchildren, you place that above the importance of the Word of God. You place people emphasis over God emphasis, money emphasis over God emphasis. See, these wrong priorities cause you to turn away from the Word of God. You develop a scale of values that excludes God, excludes your relationship with God, and you're no longer occupied with the person of Christ. That is a reactor factor. Another one is rejection of truth. Authority always must be there. And when you reject the authority of a pastor, this results in you turning away from the will of God in your life. Rejection of authority in general, or rejection even of the authority of your parents or your pastor, this is a real problem. And it causes, it's one of the reactor factors that causes you to get into reversionism and self-destruct over the long period of time. Another reactor factor could be a personality conflict where you become hypersensitive and you can't stand someone or something and you react to it. Or maybe you don't stay objective. When you get reprimanded, you take it personal. You think, well, my boss doesn't like me, or the policeman doesn't like me. They gave me a ticket. And you get subjective instead of staying objective. This is a real key to life. You have to learn objectivity. People are not out to get you. People don't hate you. And yet, if you think, like if you go into the army and the drill sergeant chews you out and you think, I want to go home, he doesn't like me. He chews out everybody. So if you get subjective, you take it personal. If you stay objective, you know it's just the system. So in work, for example, if you don't maintain your objectivity at work, you'll wind up with all sorts of people problems. And you'll think, this person has it in for me. No, it doesn't. That person has it in for everybody. It's a miserable person. You just happen to be the person that crossed their path that day. So you got to keep your objectivity. And when it comes to gossip, you cannot get involved in maligning or treating people unjust. You can't get involved in blaming other people for your own problems. This is a reactor factor. You can't let yourself be sidetracked by means of your own bad decisions. In summary, all of these reactor factors are the things that will cause you to turn away from the Word of God. Other things can be things like boredom and loneliness and self-pity. You see, these things will all destroy you. So, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot afford to get under these reactor factors. Once that negative volition sets in, once you begin to shut down on the Word of God, once you turn the pastor off, turn the church off, turn your parents off, turn the police off, whoever you react to with authority, once that negative volition sets in, then the vacuum in your soul begins to open up, and you'll begin to suck in all of the false teaching, all of the false things. Your heart will get hard, and you will destroy yourself. So, it starts by you accepting the lie rather than the truth. Listen to 1 Timothy 4:1. But the same Holy Spirit explicitly communicates that in the latter periods of time, that's between the first and second advent of Christ, some believers will become apostate and turn away from doctrine and pay attention to deceitful spirits and concentrate on doctrines of demons. Listen to 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine, it does not concur with sound doctrine, even doctrines pertaining to godliness. He has received arrogance, and he does not understand anything. And furthermore, he has a morbid obsession about controversies and verbal conflicts from which originate jealousy and discord and evil speculation. Therefore, once you get into stage one of reversionism, and that's all I've talked about today, there are eight stages. I've just talked about stage one. But when you get into stage one of reversionism, which is the distraction and reaction stage, then your negative volition, your shutdown of the Word of God, is going to open a vacuum in your soul that's going to suck in false doctrine. If you're not taking the truth in, you're going to take in the lie. And Satan is waiting to give you an injection of it. He's got the hypodermic needle already. He's waiting to shoot it into your soul so that in your reaction and rejection, you will believe the lie. And this is all your own arrogance that's going to cause your own misery and your own unhappiness. And that's why I warn you about these things. That's why I talk about these things. So you can see what's going on, even with family members. Read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, and you will see where the blackout of the soul occurs. You'll see how scar tissue sets up, and you'll see how they're oblivious to what's even happening in their life. They don't even know it's happening. And that's how powerful arrogance is. Arrogance, a person that gets into blind arrogance, cannot even see the real self. And once into reversionism, it's very hard to get out. It's very painful because you're going to suffer a lot of discipline. God's going to have to put enforced humility in your life to wake you up. And sometimes I've known Christians that they've even wound up in jail. And finally, in jail, they wake up and say, you know, I have been a real jerk. I was a real jackass. I shouldn't have done that. Look what it's gotten me. And then maybe, under enforced humility in a jail cell, they begin to realize how many bad decisions, in fact, they have made. None of us want it to get that far. That's why we hear this sort of information today, so that we can see ourselves as we really are, so that we can orient and adjust now, before we wind up into reversionism. Don't let some reactor factor set up in your life that causes you to shut down on the intake of the Word of God. Take it in every day. Get under the authority of a pastor who knows it and will teach it to you. Learn divine viewpoint. Stay filled with the Spirit. Apply the 10 problem-solving devices into your life, and you will be the man or the woman God intended you to be. Or you can be a sucker for Satan. You can buy into the lie, and you can be manipulated and controlled by him until you die a miserable death. That's up to you. Will you go to heaven? Sure. Will you be absent rewards? Absolutely. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.